Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Right in the middle of your Bible is a book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiasticus is not a book of the Bible. That's a Catholic book in the Apocrypha that is not part of the Bible. Ecclesiastes is different than Ecclesiasticus. So Ecclesiastes is in the Bible, right after the book of Proverbs in chapter number 7. Aren't you glad you're saved? It's good to see some people back from last Sunday morning sermon. And I hope to see some of you back after this morning sermon. Amen. Now, you know, last week, if you were here, I probably hit men as hard as I possibly could on getting a job and working. Amen. If you were here. Well, we've locked the doors now this morning. It's time for the women. Amen. You can't get out. They're all locked, double bolted. Stay put. Don't get nervous. We'll be done in about 4.5 hours, okay? Some of you don't know whether I'm lying or kidding or not. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7, verse number 26. If you have King James Bible, let's read together, shall we? One verse. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 26. Let's read together, shall we? And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. And let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the folks that are here, visitors that are here. And Lord, I just pray to your Holy Spirit, God, that you speak to our hearts. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this will be a help and a blessing, Lord, to the truths that we're about to hear this morning from the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for loving us the way that you have. Thank you for your long suffering, your forgiveness, and for your mercy. Thank you for church this morning. Please bless the junior church, dear God, and please bless the nursery upstairs. And, Lord, I pray that all things said and done in this place will be honoring to thee and thee alone. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Let me start off by saying this. If you have ever been thankful that you have come to this church, the person you ought to be most thankful to is my wife. Because if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be the pastor of this church. If it wasn't for my wife, we wouldn't have been here for the last 30 years. If it wasn't for my wife, you wouldn't have heard the sermons that you've heard for the last 30 years or however long you've been coming. If it wasn't for my wife, 95 to 99% of the times doing the nursery upstairs, most people would not come because their children just act up in church. And I thank God for my wife staying home and listening to what I'm going to be talking about today for women. Thank God for my wife who stayed home and trained the children so that, for instance, like my son is running junior church right now, and my other children can live a half-decent life. And not that they're good or perfect or spotless, but thank God for my children. I thank God for my wife, to be honest with you. Now, I said all that because I'm going to say some things this morning that you think are going to be kind of mean. And you don't think I like you. As a matter of fact, you're going to think I don't like you. You're going to think I don't love you after some of those things I'm going to say this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I love you. Just like I loved last week what I preached, amen. And you found out last week why most men don't want to come back to church. Because most men are too stinking lazy to get a job. They're too stinking lazy to get a second job. And they want to get their wife out to get a job so they can stay home and watch the Idiot Bowl this afternoon and drink their beer and order their wife around and get them another beer while they're stinking lazy to go get a job. That's why most men don't go to the old-fashioned, independent, Hellfire and Damnation Baptist Church. Well, this morning you're going to find out why most women don't want to come to church here. It cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. I can't preach what I preached last week and not preach what I'm going to preach this morning. Now, I can't put them all together into one sermon, so if you were not here last week, listen to it online once it goes online, if it gets online, amen. And hopefully if this gets recorded, you can listen to it over and over and enjoy it or get mad at the same time over and over again, amen. Whatever your take is on it, amen. But here, the wisest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote and penned these words by the inspiration of God Almighty. I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to read a lot of Bible this morning. I think we read a lot of Bible last week, didn't we? Amen. Hey, you're not here by accident. God brought you here to hear this sermon, amen. Yeah. You're sitting there, uh-oh, I walk into the wrong sermon. Well, I don't usually preach a Sunday night sermon twice in a row. This is very rare for me, amen. I do it every 2-3 months maybe. I'll just pop a Sunday night sermon into a Sunday morning sermon. But this week is 2 weeks in a row, amen. Let me tell you something, ladies. As I begin here, you make sure, you girls are not married, you don't make sure that you don't marry anybody who doesn't have a job. Don't you go out with somebody who doesn't have a job. If he can't take care of his own, he's not going to take care of you. Because if he's too stinking lazy to get a job now, when you get married and have kids with him, he's going to push you out of the house and go get a job while he stays home. I'm just telling you. What I said last week applies this morning also. Too many women have married the wrong jerks, amen. Just like too many men have married the wrong witches, amen. It's true, you know, and they suffer as a result. You know what I'm talking about. If you're honest, you marry the wrong guy, you marry the wrong woman, and you suffer, your family suffer, your children suffer. And this is a prevention sermon, okay, for those of you who are not married or are going to get married, okay? This is a healing sermon for those of you who are already married and you're having problems, you don't know why. This will be the answer why you got problems in your marriage right here. Right here. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. I didn't write this. God wrote it. God gave it to us. I know people don't preach it anymore, but it's in the Word of God. Genesis 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I remember living in North Troy here in Lansingburg. This is years ago, going back 20-some years ago. This is after, I think, maybe the sixth kid was born. And we came home from the hospital, or it was a while after that. And I remember my neighbor across the street, Kim, he said, John, he says, I know God said, be fruitful, multiply. But he didn't say, do it all by yourself, he said. But God did say, be fruitful, multiply, man. And most of the reason why people don't want to have too many children is because they love money, or the woman doesn't want to have any more children. She wants an easier job. And so she disobeys the word of God. Now, if you got medical problems, health problems, I understand that. For instance, my wife, I wish we had more children, but she just couldn't physically and medically. She just couldn't. But the reason why you only have 1.3 kids is because you love your money and your leisure and your laziness more than obeying what God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for preaching. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to chapter number 2, verse number 18. Chapter 2, verse number 18. The reason we don't have any revival this morning is because God's people are rebelling against God's word. That's why. It's not the heathen. It's not the Sodomites. It's God's people who are disobeying the word of God. Chapter number 2, verse number 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam, and thank God Eve wasn't around, amen. A backseat driver. No, I don't like that name. Call this thing, you know, amen. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. A woman is not a help meet. A woman is a help to meet his needs. There's a difference. There's nowhere in the Bible that says she's a partner. There's nowhere in the Bible that says it's a 50-50 relationship. I remember sat down, brought my wife with me. Yeah, that's my wife. We went to counsel somebody having marriage problems because, you know, they're not coming to good church, you know, disobeying the word of God. But we went over there, and here this woman, nice area, I'm telling you, beautiful house. We went over there, and we sat down at the table there. I think her husband is there. I can't remember. I think he was. And so where she's going over there, and she's saying, you know, we don't get along because it ought to be 50-50. And I said, I called her by her name. I said, ma'am. I say, this is my wife. She's sitting right here. In my house, it's 100% to zero. I say, the problem is you're not letting your husband do what he needs to do. And you're bucking his authority. I don't know why she never came back to our church. Can you? Look, you may not like the preaching. You may not agree with the preaching. But I'm not changing the preaching because you don't like it. This is exactly what God said. The wife, the woman, is supposed to be a help to meet his needs. I am not, listen to me good, I preached against a man last week, this time for the ladies now. I am not supposed to help my wife with her needs. Now, if she's incapacitated, if she's disabled, if she's paralyzed, sure, I help. But if she's got two good hands and two good eyes and two good feet, she does all the cooking in the house. She does all the cleaning in the house. She does the vacuuming. She does the mopping. She does the washing. She does the baking. She does the sewing. She does all of it because that's what God made her for. Keep reading. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, woe man, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Chapter number 3, please, and verse number, boy, I wish you could read the whole chapter here. But he said, let's go to verse number 15. And God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to Satan now. And between thy seed and her seed. And that's why, ladies, you don't understand this, but Satan is fighting the woman in the house first. Because she's the weaker vessel and she's the vulnerable one. She's the vulnerable one. And that's who Satan's going to attack first. Because he knows if he can get the wife, if he can get the mother, if he can get the woman, he's got the whole household. If he can destroy the woman, he's destroyed the house. Hey, you know what the biggest problem in America is? Women. You know what the biggest problem in the churches are? Women. You mark her down, buddy. When the women started to get the right to vote, this country went downhill. Our forefathers knew well that they said the only people who had the right to vote were people who owned property and men. Now, you don't like that in 2017, but that's why God blessed America. Now, God, I'm telling you, you don't like this, but God's cursed America, ladies and gentlemen, because we have rebelled against God. Men want to be like women, and women want to be like men. Now preachers are afraid, ministers are afraid to say anything about the sodomites and the queers and the faggots roaming the streets and controlling politics and controlling the churches today. Men have become spineless today. And they let their women run the churches. I'm telling you, that is the truth. I know what I'm talking about. The reason why pastors don't preach, because their wives don't let them. They pull them by there and say, well, we're not going back there again. I don't want you to preach that, because if you preach that, we're going to have World War III. Well, you're starting it. I'm finishing it, amen? I love a good fight. You left me good. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my church. But I told everybody, there's the door. You know the saying, don't you? Don't you? Huh? Don't let it hit you where the Lord splits you. You've heard that before, haven't you? It's in the Bible somewhere. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Either that or John Wayne said it or somebody said it. Amen. But it's good. It's good stuff. Amen. So, let me say something. You look at me, you look at my wife, look at my family. You say, boy, God's really blessed you. You know why? Because my wife has learned some of what I'm preaching this morning. And it's not been an easy road sometime. I preached some stuff and I taught some stuff. My wife shed her tears, man, cry. Look, our home is no different than yours. I don't like what he said. I don't like what you're doing. I said, tough. There's the door. I'm not changing. I try to be kind. I try to be friendly. I try to be as understanding as I can. But I'm not changing my principles. I'm not changing my standards. I'm not changing my preaching. I'm not changing my teaching for anybody. I'm not giving up my manhood and my spine because they want me to be effeminate. And ladies, you better learn these verses because God's speaking to women this morning. Verse number 16. Unto the woman, he said, God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Watch what it says. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, you don't like that, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. No man's going to tell me what to do. That's why you're going to be married 3, 4, 5 times. That's why you're going to die by yourself in a nursing home. That's why you're going to be a bitter old, nasty woman. Amen. I'm trying to think of that word. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to wear your pantsuits. You're going to be bitter against God, hate men, hate everybody, because you didn't want no man telling you what to do. Go ahead, honey. Live your own life, amen. I'm going to live my way, amen. And God, guess what? I'd rather live my last 34 years in the way you're living your life, amen. And thank God my wife has stayed. And thank God my wife loves me. And thank God she's willing to help. And thank God she can cook and can clean and wash and sew. Women today don't know how to cook and sew. They don't. They don't know what. They have no idea what a sewing machine is. They have no idea what a needle and thread is. They don't know how to cook from scratch. You got to buy something and microwave it. Pop it in, pop it out. Here, eat it. That's all I can have. I don't have any time. Yeah. Yeah, they want to be a career woman, make some money, put some money in their pocket, and tell the man what to do. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. At least half of us have enjoyed this. The other half enjoyed last week, maybe. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. So I don't know, Pastor, why do they don't come to church? You listen to my sermons at all? You ever listen to my sermons? I know why they don't come. The man's too spineless to put his foot down. And so we're going here whether you like it or not. I'm going to say, look, we smile, we're friendly, and I try to be, but I'm going to tell you something. There's been times in my house my wife has cried. I let her cry. Cry in the bedroom, cry downstairs, cry in the car, cry in church. I don't care, cry, go ahead. I'm not changing. Go, you get mad, puff, huff and puff, cross your arms. The Bible says the wicked man hardens his face. You just get mad. Just go, get mad at the preacher. You get mad all you want. I'm not preaching. I'm not changing my preaching. I plan on going to work tomorrow morning to pay my mortgage, amen? I'm not depending on any one penny to come in this offering to pay my mortgage tomorrow. I'm somewhere. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 9. You better underline these, ladies. If I was a woman, I'd be concerned about these verses. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. You're not in modest apparel when you're wearing pantsuits and letting your knees and thighs show. That's not modest apparel. You know what the definition of modest apparel is? What the Amish women wear and what the Mennonites wear. That's pretty modest, amen? Of course, we're so worldly, we're so backslidden, we're so rebellious, we want to show our cleavage, and we want to show our bodies, and we want to show our flesh to entice the other sex, you know? And then when we get them, and then when they want the same thing 10 years later from a younger version, then you get mad at your husband for catching him the same way. Hello? Is this making sense to anybody? Is this on? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So your husband leaves you 20 years later for a younger version the way you enticed your husband. Of course, you couldn't entice him with godliness and holiness and being spiritual and loving God and reading the Bible and praying, coming to church and caring about the things of God. You just wanted to show your flesh. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In modest apparel with shamefacedness. When's the last time you saw a woman being ashamed? When's the last time you saw a woman blush, man? They're so bold today. They got a chip on their shoulder. They ain't going to tell me what to do. You check the Hollywood whores who wore pants first. You know why they wore pants? They said, no man's going to tell me what to do. Check it up. Google it. Search it. That's why they wore pants. I'm not preaching on pants. I'm not preaching on dressing this morning. I just threw that in for free this morning, amen? And sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, verse number 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I didn't write it. That's what God said. Now you want to talk over your husband. You want to tell your husband what to do. Verse number 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Did you read that? I didn't write it. Did you read it? I better get behind this microphone because sometimes it doesn't pick up what I'm preaching. Did you read that? I didn't write that. God said a woman ought to be in silence. She ought not to usurp authority over the man. I don't care if my wife gets mad, cries. My girls get mad and cry. My boys are happy, though. Say, yeah, Dad, keep going. You know? It's all right. They work hard anyway, so I preached against the man yesterday, last Sunday. But, you know, where's the preaching today on the distinction in the roles of men and women? We're afraid. You know, I'll tell you why we're afraid, because we don't want to lose the money that comes in the offering basket. These ministers, they don't care about you. They care about how much money you can make at your career, ladies. So you can bring some money and buy off the preacher, the pastor, the minister, so he doesn't preach what he's preaching this morning. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. It's like, what's the guy's name? Silence. What's that puppet's name? Silence. I kill you. Yeah. Who's the puppet's name? Achman. I kill you. All right. Get back to the sermon. Verse number 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Eve didn't know what she was doing, but the man did. Hey, fellas, let your wife act like a baby at times. Let her cry it out. Let her have a pity party. Let her pout a little bit, but don't you change because she's pouting. Don't you change because she's throwing a pity party. Just say, I love you anyway. It's okay. You'll get over it. You don't love me anymore. If you love me, you wouldn't do that. That's what Delilah told Samson, and he got him his death. That's exactly, you read Judges, the book of Judges, that's exactly what Delilah told Samson. You don't love me. If you love me, you tell me everything. And then finally she pressed him, and he yielded, and he told her it was his own death. They plucked out his own eyes, shaved his hair like an animal and a beast. They tied him to the chains of the temple, and he died. What a way to go, because he listened to a woman. Chapter number 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. We read this last week. I think this is the starting verse. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Men, if you don't get a job and provide for your family, my Bible, God says you are worse than an infidel. Don't tell me you're involved in religious work. Yeah. There's no exemption in that verse. If you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. Get yourself a job. Get yourself a job. And then after you get a job, get a second job. Chapter number 3. Chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Boy, I want to read this whole chapter, man. Oh, man. I don't have time. We ought to read this chapter about the requirements of a bishop and a deacon about how grave and sober their wives ought to be. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I was telling folks, I think Wednesday night, I said, you know, in 30 years of this church, we've never had a church split. That's almost unheard of when you think about it. 30 years we've been here, we've never had a church split. You know why? Because after they hear one of these sermons, they leave right away. They don't have time to sit here and foment trouble and start trouble with everybody else. They just don't like to preach and they leave. Well, go ahead, leave. Go ahead, leave. You think because you're going to leave, take your money and your fat carcass away, you think I'm going to stop preaching the truth? You think I'm going to minimize the truth of the Word of God to please your selfishness and your rebellion? I hope to God drives something into your heart and your soul and your mind to quicken you and to wake you to the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 34. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what God said. Thank God I'm a man. That's in 4 John. 1 John chapter 14, verse number 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, if God wrote that, how in the world can a woman be a pastor of a church? How in the world can a woman be a minister of a church? Do you ever notice all these whacked off churches, crazy churches, apostolic, charismatic, but they're all pastor so-and-so and Mrs. so-and-so. Complete contrary to what God says in the Bible. How in the world can a woman be a pastor or a minister when God says women are supposed to be silent in the churches? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. If that's all I said, that was case closed right there. If that was all there was in the Bible, case closed. But they want to run their trap. Yep. You know? They just want to keep talk. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You wonder what's wrong with our country? Too many women. With our churches, too many women running it. Yeah. It's all women run today most of the times. Not this church, I'm just talking other churches. I've seen it, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Biggest problem, most of the problems we've had in our church is because women talking and gossiping. Women getting jealous and envious, you know? Yeah, buddy. So, you know, here's what you do. You read the Bible and you say, boy, I wish I was married to King David. I wish I was married to Abraham. You know, I want to tell you they had multiple wives, by the way. Now, this is not a preaching sermon on polygamy this morning. I'm just saying you couldn't last 1 minute in their house with about 3 or 4 or 5 other wives, let alone with a boyfriend that's got other girlfriends. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm just saying women are just too full of themselves. It's all about them, not what they can do for their husband. God, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. But we're too stinking selfish. We're so jealous and envious of everybody else. Our own lives are not in order. Most of the problems we've had in this church, most, not all, most, are women related. And the times that they weren't, the men were acting like a woman, like being effeminate, gossiping like a woman, back talking like a woman, yapping their trap like a woman. Solomon knew what he's talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Titus chapter number 2, please. Titus chapter number 2. Would to God churches in America and around the world get back to the Word of God and obeying and yielding to the very words of God Almighty. Titus chapter number 2. Today all these movies and these commercials, these social media outlets, the videos, sitcoms, are all making fun of men. They're making them look like a bunch of idiots. They make them look stupid. They treat them with contempt. They think men are incompetent. They're buffoons. They think they're ignorant, worthless. They're their servants and their children. I see women treat their husbands like their children. That's what the backhand is for, men. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I plan on dying as a man. If I go to an early grave, I'll go to an early grave as a man. Day ever comes, my wife or my children tell me, we're not going to go to hear that kind of preaching, is a day that I'm going by myself and have a nice life. Have a nice life. And thank God my wife's following me. Hey, you may not enjoy this Sunday morning sermon. You may not have enjoyed last Sunday morning sermon, but how about the last maybe 50 weeks or 40 weeks of those sermons? You better thank God there's a woman upstairs who loves me enough to put up with me and say, you know what? I'm going to do what he wants for God's sake. Even though I don't agree with it, I'm going to do what he wants. You don't have to. I've told my kids, you don't have to agree with everything. The time comes you don't agree with my rules, have your own house and have your own rules. I don't care. I'm not going to. So I tell my kids, send me a postcard, give me a number, some contact information. We'll get together, visit each other. But these are my rules. I'm not changing my rules for anybody. This is God's house. I'm not changing God's house rules for anybody. Just because everybody else changed the rules doesn't mean we want to change the rules. Titus chapter number 3, aren't we? And verse number, 3. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 3, sorry. The age of women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness. That's a strange word to Bible-believing folks. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Now you're letting it all hang out. You remember about 15, 20 years ago, it was a shame for a woman to show her midriff? Now they're showing everything, man. I mean, in the last 15, 20 years, America's degraded herself, and everybody's exposing everything on Twitter and everything else, on Snapchat and on Facebook and everything. It's ridiculous. Teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Notice the next three words. Keepers at home. That's what God says. Women should be home to take care of the children, take care of the cooking, take care of the cleaning, take care of the washing. Let me tell you something. They're going to shock. I have no idea how to run the washing machine or the dryer in my house. No idea. I have no idea how to push the buttons on the dishwasher. I have no idea. Up until about maybe 10 years ago, because my wife had to go to the hospital for an extended visit, I had no idea. You can laugh, you can say, I don't believe it. I had no idea where the dishes or the platters or the plates or the cups were. Now you know what happens in the average house? The women sit while the men do the work. They don't know how to get up and clean the table. They don't know how to wash the dishes. They don't know how to cook anything and prepare anything and set the table. Is anybody home? Yes. Keepers at home. But you want to get some money. Get some money in your pocket. So one day you can tell your husband, see, get rid, goodbye, Jack. I got it on my own. That's why women want the government to take care of them. They want a free apartment, free furniture, free welfare, free food stamps, free heat, free everything, because they don't need a man anymore because the government's going to take care of them. Go ahead. Have God curse your life. Go ahead. That's a lousy example to be for your children. Disobeying the very words of God. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Watch this. That the word of God be not blasphemed. My wife has no business obeying anybody else except her husband. And when she doesn't, and when you don't obey your husband, you blaspheme the very word of God. You say, well, I love God. Not if you don't obey your husband. Not if you give your husband a tough time. You know what I find out? 30 years we've been here. Think about this. Do you know who's always asked me about specials and playing the piano, the organ, and choirs? Not one man has ever asked me about that kind of stuff. Women have asked me that. I don't care if we don't have any special singers anymore. I don't care if we don't have a piano or an organ anymore. I don't care if we don't have a choir anymore. I'm not against choirs or special singing. I'm not against that. But we don't need show-offs to come up and play the piano or the organ or sing a special or have a choir behind us and somebody doesn't love God, doesn't read their Bible, and then yells at their husband and criticizes their husband and rebels against their husband when they get home. I'm not having that. I'm not having that. Amen. Are you blaspheming the word of God by disobeying your husband? Hey, I didn't force you to marry him. You chose him. Maybe you didn't listen to your parents. I don't know. Maybe you didn't listen to the preacher. I don't know. You're the one that chose him. You said yes. Verse number 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. You know what women do today? They just answer back, talk back. You know what's a shame? That Ralph Cramden was more of a man to Alice sometimes than Baptist people are. Bang, zoom, to the moon, Alice. Now, we walk on eggshells. Okay, sweetie, I don't want to get upset. Is there anything I can do to help? Let her cry, man. Let her have a pity. She'll get over it. She'll get over it. It might take a week. It might take a month. Maybe a year or more. I don't know. But you know what? I don't have to be a pastor. There's nowhere in the Bible that says I have to be a pastor. Do you hear what I just said? There's nowhere in the Bible that says I need to be a pastor. But God commands me to be a man. And David told his son, show thyself a man. One thing in the Bible, men ought to be men and ladies ought to be ladies. If it works out, well, I'm no longer a pastor, that's okay. I'll give it up, vote somebody else in. They won't bother me. I'll go live on Berlin Mountain shooting deer, man, and bear for the rest of my life in my cabin in the woods, amen, go soul winning when I can, read my Bible and pray. I don't have to preach. I don't have to teach. But I'm not going to die a spineless wimp. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. See, I didn't come here this morning to get that. You just thought you didn't come here this morning to get that. First, God knows what you need. 1 Peter chapter 3. You don't know how to sew. You don't know how to make clothes. You don't know how to use patterns. You don't know what needles are for. You don't know what thread's for. You can't cook anything from scratch. You don't even know what an apron is for. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Maybe you say, Pastor, I never learned this. Well, you can learn now. I didn't get saved until I was 21. Learn now. Teach your kids, teach your grandkids what's right. Admit that what you did before was wrong to your children, your grandchildren. Don't uphold lies. Don't uphold falsehoods. Say, you know, I was wrong. I wasn't saved. I didn't know any better. At least just be honest. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You can win your husband by your conduct. But when you have your husband in contempt all the time, you talk back to him all the time, you ridicule him all the time, you criticize him all the time, you know what you do? You're emasculating him. You're physically taking the spine out of his back and him feeling worthless. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Women don't fear their husbands anymore, you know. Ephesians chapter 5 says, in the Greek, it says, you know, it says reverence your husband. The Greek says to fear your husband. I'm just telling you, everybody likes going back to the Greek except when they don't like what it says. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5 in the original. But today, women aren't afraid of their husbands anymore. They're not afraid. They talk back to him. They spit in his face. They yell at him. They treat him with contempt. Keep reading. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Hey, ladies, you have a meek and quiet spirit, you're just loud. Like the whore in Proverbs chapter number 7 was a loud woman. The harlot sits on her step, calling the passersby all the time and yelling. Does somebody know you as a loud woman or are you quiet and meek spirit? Huh? Even that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, watch as being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Can you imagine? You know what? You know what's sad? It's very rare that I hear a woman say yes, sir, or no, sir. She can't say sir because sir is like Lord, you know. Sir is like the boss, you know. She just say, yeah, nah, yeah, okay. And you want to be like Sarah in the Bible? You want God to bless you? How can you read 1 Peter 3? Or maybe you don't read 1 Peter 3. Doesn't it bother you? Yeah. You're going to hook up with some boy at school who's cool, man, smoking his pot, drinking his beer, chewing the wad, no job, no responsibilities, irresponsible. And you're going to be cursed for the rest of your life because you thought you were marrying somebody who's cool. If I were you, I ask him where you work at. How much do you make? How long you been working there? If he's not working there for 6 or 12 months, drop him. God's got something better for you. Don't let him get mad at me. I don't care. I carry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands. Oh, verse 6 again. Whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Verse number 7. Likewise ye husbands. Again, this goes back to last Sunday. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The wife is a weaker vessel. God says that. Women cannot physically do what a man can do, normally, naturally. Now, there might be one rare exception where you see some woman with some hormones that, you know, she's like an ape compared to some skinny, young, short guy. That happens once in a while. It's a freak of nature, but it does happen. But let me tell you something. 95.99%, she's the weaker vessel. And a woman cannot put up with the pressures that a man can put up if he's the right kind of man. Sometimes my wife brings things to me. I say, don't worry about it. But I said, don't worry about it. Yeah, but don't worry about it. My wife can't take that. She can't. To me, man, get out of my way, because I'm like a bull in a china closet. You better just get out of my way. I'll take care of it. My wife says sometimes, oh, please don't take care of it. It's because she knows how I'm going to take care of it. Yeah. So I'll take care of it. She goes, no, I didn't mean to do that. I say, well, then don't tell me then. Yeah. The wife is a weaker vessel. You got to understand, men, she can't go out and get a job and a career and expect to come home and do everything that you want her to do because you're too stinking lazy to get a second job. I mean, that's being honest. She's a weaker vessel. She's supposed to stay home, rear the kids. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's go there. We still got 3.5 hours left. The doors are locked. Put a fake smile on if you don't like it anyway. Ephesians chapter number 5. Women today are so rebellious, disobedient. They desert their husbands. They leave their husbands. I don't like what he said. I don't like how he treated me. You won't find any reason for a woman to leave her husband in the Bible. I'm just saying. I'm not mad. I'm just saying. Ephesians 5, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. He's no longer the head of the household no more, you know. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Did you read that? Right. Underline, in everything. Right. Now you're going to give your husband a piece of your mind, aren't you? Yeah, that may be why you're by yourself. Maybe that's why you're on your third or fourth husband. Maybe that's why you're so bitter and hateful and bitter. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let me tell you something. I worked my tail off for the last 34 years. My wife knows it, man. I have worked my tail off. Tired, night, cold, I don't care what the weather was like. I try my best to work my tail off and pastor church at the same time. And blessed be God, if I'm going to do that, I don't want to hear no complaints on the other side about how difficult they think it is. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. All the way down to verse number 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The only time reverence is used in the Bible is for God, except right here. And God, your husband ought to be the closest thing to God on this earth. Again, don't blame me for marrying the wrong guy. It's not my fault. I'm preaching the truth from the Word of God so your daughters don't marry a jerk. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs 14. Hey, some of you like last Sunday morning sermon. The other side likes this morning's sermon. Proverbs 14, verse number 1. Micah 2:9 says, the women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever. Yeah, God's people have cast out the women out of their own homes. And that's why the children are so messed up today. They have latchkey kids, you know. Kids come home to an empty home. They don't know where dad's at. Don't know where mom's at. No one's home to greet him with a kiss. No one there with a warm meal. That's what our society has come to today. And then, you know what? You got mad at the preacher for telling you the truth. You listen to the government schools that have ruined your families. Proverbs 14, verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Are you wise or foolish, ladies? Chapter 12, verse number 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Yeah. Yeah. They look good on the outside. They come to church sometimes. They smile because they have to be friendly and nice, you know. I'm not stupid. I know what goes on behind closed doors. She crossed her arms and said, we're not going back there. Well, you may not go, but I'm going back. I got to tell you, you know the preacher that married us, Dr. McIntyre, before we got married, I used to invite my wife before we got married to church. She says, I don't like that guy. I'm afraid of that. I said, that's good. We're going there. She said, I'm afraid of that guy. I said, good. We're going there. Yeah. Remember the time we were in North Carolina at the Jacksonville, North Carolina bookstore when I was in the Marine Corps, and Gene Johnson was the name, great guy, passed away since, older fellow back then, going back 30 years ago, we just got married, and I used to go to the ministry downtown where the church had a ministry for the Marines downtown Jacksonville area, bad seedy area, you know, the mission place was right over the bar. We used to play chess and checkers and invite the Marines up and try to get, and they got used to get saved and stuff like that. And I remember Gene Johnson, when I brought my wife, he'd come over, white hair, white eyebrows, you know. He's like, real serious. He says, are you saved? And my wife says, I'm kind of afraid of that guy. I said, that's good. That's good. You ought to be afraid of the preacher once in a while. You ought to be afraid of your husband once in a while. You ought to be afraid of the man of God once in a while. Everybody's just a patsy now. Everybody just rolls over, plays dead. Blessed be God. If this is the last sermon I preach a good one this morning, man. And I have no regrets, because I won't be here to see the crowd next week. I'll be up in heaven. Chapter 15, Proverbs 15, verse number 1. You know, you could just smile and just put up a fake front. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. That's okay. Your children are going to learn your rebellion. Yeah. It's going to pass down to your children. They're going to remember all the times you fought with your husband, argued with your husband, talked back to your husband. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Ezekiel chapter 16 says, Ezekiel 16, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Proverbs 15, verse number 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Hey, ladies, if you know your husband's ticked off, let him go. Let him blow off steam by himself. Leave him alone. The worst thing you do is add fuel to the fire, man. You ask my wife, from personal experience, just get out of my way, man. If I'm mad or upset something, the worst thing you do is just stir it up, amen. Tell you what, just get out of my way. I'll get it off my chest. I'll get it out of the way. Don't worry about it. But you don't want to get me when I'm riled up or I'm upset or I'm mad. Gracious words, kind words, soft words. Like, oh, it's okay, honey. Everything's going to be okay. Sweetie, hey, don't worry. Just relax. Okay? It'll be all right. Yeah, buddy. Proverbs 31, since we're right here. Proverbs 31. I'm running out of time because you're not listening fast enough. Proverbs 31. You ought to read when you go home Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. But look at verse number 3. We'll start there. The words of King Lemuel in verse number 1, the prophecy that his mother taught him. His mother taught the king this word right here, verse number 3. Here's what she said to her own son. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She said to her own son, don't let the women fool you. Don't let the women mess with you. Don't let the women run you. Whatever you be a king, and don't let them ruin you. Too many men are ruined because they let a woman ruin them. Then you can pick it up from chapter number, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Hey, does your husband trust you, ladies? If he doesn't, why not? Maybe it's a track record. Maybe it's your history. I don't know. Hey, if this is difficult for you this morning, it was difficult last Sunday for the men. So that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Boy, you know how to use that stupid phone. You think it's a smartphone, but you know how to use that iPod, that iPad. You know how to use your keyboard. You know how to use a computer screen, but you don't know how to use the cooking utensils. Oh, what's this for? What's this pot for? What's this frying pan for? What's this kettle for? What's this do? Huh? I don't know. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. Most women can't get in bed until it's 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Most women have no idea what it's like to get up at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. They have no idea what it's like to start the cooking in the morning. They have no idea what it's like to start of the day, cleaning the house and getting things ready. They just stay in bed and roll over. Yeah, you know why? Because you're on welfare and food stamps. You're letting your daddy, the government, take care of you. You lazy, no good for nothing woman. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. There's not enough money a career woman can make dropping this offering basket to make me change my preaching. There ain't not. God can't make enough money. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Most women don't want to get their hands soiled. They don't want to put their hands in the dirt. So, oh, that's disgusting. Hey, why don't you go back and read what Jael did with the nail? She picked up that nail and killed that fellow right through the temple, right through his head, and the nail fastened to the ground. Yes. Hey, why don't you go back and read what Moses' wife did that Moses didn't do because he was afraid to do it. And Moses' wife said, "You're a bloody man, Moses," because he forsook his responsibility. Now women say, "Oh, I'm afraid to do that. I don't want to do that." Verse 17, "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle." You have no idea what a spindle is. "And her hands hold the distaff." You have no idea what a distaff is. You know what I grew up with? I'll tell you what I grew up with. I grew up with my mom sitting at a sewing machine, a Singer sewing machine without a motor, just with a pedal. You know what I'm talking about. You people are over 40, 56 years old. And that's how she sewed. She sewed my shirts. She sewed my jackets. She sewed my pants from scratch. I remember the day we got our first washing machine. She used to wash the clothes in the tub, but you can't do that because you need something to push a button for. I remember the day we got our first dishwasher. Of course, you couldn't live without a dishwasher. That's why God's cursed America, ladies and gentlemen. God's cursed the homes. That's why most women want Hillary to win. It's the truth. You want a Jezebel. You want a Jezebel to run the White House and to run the country, because that's what you are when you vote for her. You're a Jezebel. You want a real man. "Oh, he said something that wasn't really nice." Welcome to men. All right, so he said something he shouldn't have said. I agree. I'd rather have somebody like that in the White House than the Jezebel in the White House. Verse 20. "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk." She didn't go to stores to buy. There was no Macy's back then, ladies and gentlemen. No Marshalls, no Sears, no clothing stores. You made your own stuff. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Huh. "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She knows how to paint her face and her fingernails like Jezebel. The only woman to ever paint her face and her face in the Bible was Jezebel. Boy, she knows how to fix her eyebrows now. Knows how to put that lipstick on now, put the rouge on now. Just like Jezebel did. Then you get mad when a preacher preaches about that kind of stuff. I know it's not a Sunday morning sermon, but welcome to Grace Baptist Church. This is how I started preaching 30 years ago at the Boys Club downtown Troy. This is how I intend finishing my preaching. I'm not changing for anybody. The president, the governor, the mayor, my wife, my children, or the church. Why don't you just admit to God and say, "God, I messed up. I followed the wrong crowd. I listened to the wrong advice." Just admit it. If you can't even acknowledge your sin, you're not going to get ahead. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Isaiah 3, we'll close with this. I'm just running out of time. Isaiah chapter number 3. The Bible says in Micah chapter number 7, to the men, "Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." You fellows, don't be like women. Don't be like women. God says in Micah chapter 7, verse 5, "Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." Isaiah chapter number 3. We're going to close with this. I don't want to close, but we're going to close with this. Verse number 9. I don't know why people don't like me, Jaleah. Can you understand that? I can't figure it out. I just can't figure it out. Isaiah 3, verse number 9, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. You can look at their face. You can tell a lot just by their face. You can see how mad that they are. They just grit their teeth. And they declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Watch verse 12, please underline this. As for my people, children are their oppressors. You parents let your kids run your life. You're an idiot. You have a hole in your head. You're listening to too many other people instead of God. You're letting a 3 or 4 or 5 year old snot-nosed little kid that you're feeding, you're clothing, you're housing, to tell you what to do. Why don't you decide to grow up and be the parent? Look what it says here. And women rule over them. The downfall of America is a women ruling over men. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Who you listen to? Who you following? That's who's ruined your life. You trusted some lying minister, some spineless pastorette that wasn't willing to give you the truth because they wanted your money more than God to bless you. You listen to them instead of what God said. And God said, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Isaiah 5, verse number 41, we'll close with this. Isaiah 5, I'm sorry, no. Isaiah 3, verse number 5. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by a neighbor, by one another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Verse number 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Yeah, you're letting your children, your wives, run your house. Why don't you take control of the finances and decide what to buy and what to sell? Huh? Why don't you have a budget and find out? You're going to shock you. My wife enjoys telling people, we go somewhere, and they try to offer us something. She says, I have to ask my husband first. And they look at her, what? You have to ask your husband's permission whether you can buy something? Yeah. We have a budget once a week or once a month. We sit down, and she tells me what comes in, how much is in the account. I said, this is what you pay, this is how much you pay this is how much you pay that. And she takes care of it because I trust her enough. I've been married to her for 34 years. But if you don't trust her, take a hold of your finances until she learns how to do it, amen? You buy them credit cards, she's going to put you in debt, man. She's going to buy the prettiest shoes, the prettiest clothes. She don't care how much you make, how hard you work. She just want to look fancy. Yeah. You know what? You'd be shocked how much we go to Goodwill to go shopping and Salvation Army. You'd be shocked how much we, as a family, we've gone for 34 years to go secondhand stores. But you're too good to go to those kind of stores. You got to go to some fancy store and buy some $200 sneakers, you know, with a name brand on there. You got to put some name brand on your shirt over here to impress everybody how cool you are while God's cursing you. Now, if you got the money, buy it. I'm not against it. But if you don't have the money, man, save your money. Isaiah chapter number 4, verse number 1. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. You don't want to be called Mrs. anymore because, you know, that means you're attached, owned, possessed by a man. Like the Bible teaches, by the way. You know, the Bible does teach that, you know. It's another sermon. You want to be called Ms. M.S., you know. There's something missing. The man's missing. You don't want to take your husband's last name because you want to be your own person, you know. You don't want to be owned like an animal. You don't want to be owned like a piece of property because that's what the world's teaching you, you know. You'd rather have your freedom away from God. Your freedom away from the Word of God. And while the rest of your life is going to be cursed by God Almighty because you decided to rebel against God. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad some of you are in church this morning? Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. I know it's not the normal Sunday morning sermon. But dear God, I pray this morning, if anybody in this room is not saved, I pray they get saved this morning. I pray if anybody's not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And I pray, dear God, if anybody's saved but they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, that today they make that decision to get baptized today. They don't put it off. They do what is right and obey your command. Bless, I pray, whatever else the need is. Maybe we hit home last Sunday or this Sunday. Dear God, please work on the hearts. Only you can do it. I can only preach. I can only teach. I can only quote the verses. And I can preach till I'm blue in the face. But only you can do the work of a miracle grace in somebody's heart, dear God. Please speak to hearts. Please work in lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. You come and do business with God. God's people praying. God's people praying.